Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's so nice to have you return to Blog Talk Radio, Syndicated News. It's always so lovely to have you here with us. This evening, we're going to be joined by Sue Lang. Sue Lang, and she's quite the writer. And most importantly, she's had quite a very creative history. She has also written songs. She was part of a band. She's going to tell us all about that. And I'm sure we're going to be enjoying that tremendously. I had no idea she was also a writer of music. She told me she had written that piece years ago. And we're going to hear it this evening. In any case, she's written two books, and we're going to discuss them this evening. We're going to be looking at them this evening. One of them is We Robots, and the other is Trichian Hash. And we'll be waiting for her here a few minutes. And I also wanted to maybe take a moment to let you know what the lineup looks like for the next month of August. It's quite interesting here. We're going to be having a very interesting set of visitors, I would say. We've got going to it right now. So many listings. Here we go. Of course, we're going to have Sue Lang this evening. And tomorrow we're going to have Jasmine join us. Jasmine is very artistic and very much the songwriter. Very interesting young lady. In any case, she's trying to come out into music and break into the industry. And we're going to see if we can give her a hand. And there's Sue now. Sue, welcome to Syndicated News.
Hi, Ruthie. How are you?
Waiting for you. I was just reading along little tidbits here and there to kill some time until you arrived.
Okay.
Did the rain hold you up?
No, actually, there's no rain here. We've got great weather today.
Where are you?
I'm in Pennsylvania near Philly.
Excellent. Oh, by the way, again, for those dog lovers amongst us, my dog loves to play. And he weighs 80 pounds, and he doesn't recognize that he's not a lap dog. And he plays with, you know, the members of the family in the home as though he is. So if you hear him yelping in the background, trust me, no one's hurting him. He loves to play like that. He likes to sit in your lap and make believe he's small. Well, he believes it anyway.
Whoever he's sitting on doesn't believe it.
But he's such a well-mannered dog that, we have to just love him because he's, I tell him, you know, people pay thousands of dollars to have the dogs behave the way he does because he sits on command and he's got a vocabulary of 27 words.
Wow.
He really does, yeah. So tell me, Sue, these wonderful books, what is this writing about? Tell us.
Well, I am a science fiction writer, so my writing is science fiction. It's not the typical science fiction. It is satire, and it's not real heavy on the science. It's more about our reaction to our technology. It's I write about future scenarios, but I'm basically commenting on the culture, on the culture that we know today, using futuristic scenarios to kind of just set up a place.
Because I see that they're quite comical, quite sarcastic. Could I say that?
In places, certainly they are sarcastic. maybe even cynical in some places.
Very cynical, yes.
I think humorous, maybe.
Okay, so we have to say that your work in We Robots, it's a statement on our technology. So tell me about the singularity. What is that?
Well, the singularity is a very unusual theory that a lot of science fiction writers, most science fiction writers these days, are working with, even if they're not doing it as obviously as I did in We Robots. They sort of choose it as a foregone conclusion. It's very, I feel, a provocative theory. I came across it a few years ago reading another science fiction author by the name of Werner Vang, who is the one that sort of brought this theory, I don't know, to the foreground back in the 90s, early 90s, I believe. It's a very unusual theory in that it states that sometime soon, in probably the early part of this century, artificial intelligence is going to bypass human intelligence. And what Vang posited was that once that happens, we really don't know what life for humanity is going to be like. There's an assumption that once that happens, things will change, humanity will change, and we do not know what will the circumstances be, what life will be like for humans. And a lot of authors have just run with that because there's a lot of ramifications. A lot of people truly believe this is going to happen, and some people feel it is going to be disastrous, and others feel that it's going to be wonderful, having computers, et cetera, able to solve all of our problems because we can't seem to do it. So there's a lot of room for all kinds of wild speculation of what's going to happen. And most interesting to me is that there's a possibility to digitize the human mind. And once you digitize the human mind, you essentially can copy it onto a new substrate. And a lot of people feel that this could mean the end of death amongst humans, assuming you can transcend your biological body and move on to something else. This theory is taken very seriously by a number of people that truly believe this is going to happen. And, of course, the science fiction authors just find it very interesting to write about. And I took a different tact. I didn't set my future in a world where it happened. I set it in the world just before the singularity happened, and I took the stance that there's a lot of things that could happen before this could happen, and that's where my story is at. It's sort of preventing the singularity from happening in the way that a lot of people are predicting that it will happen.
Jeez, so if there's some place, yeah, we can get robots to do what, you know, do our bidding. Sign me up.
Yeah, well, it's that's what a lot of people are hoping for. And other people are saying that it could be disastrous. If you have a computer that's ambulatory, there's an assumption that perhaps computer intelligence will not see a need for humans anymore, and they will end up, either enslaving us or just doing something to get rid of us. So there's this sort of group of people that are truly afraid of this thing from happening. And so there's that aspect of it. I'm very interesting.
They're frightened of it, huh? And
now yeah.
this Trichin hash. And Trichin
right.
rhymes with stitching, I guess. And the
right,
robots,
right.
They seem to have humor. Do you always use humor in your work, in your writing?
Pretty much. I tend to view the world humorously. But especially when you're writing about the future and things like the singularity or Trichin hash, it was about the differences in gender stereotypes. It's all very funny. If you take it very seriously, you can't help but see the humor in it.
You can't, huh?
Right.
I thought they were just hilarious. I was just thumbing through it, and I found it just darling. I was wondering by chance. I found this wonderful Harley song. If we could all take just a moment and listen to this for you're gonna have to, if you love animals, you're gonna have to forgive the puppy because he doesn't know he weighs 8 pounds. He doesn't know he's a year and a half. He thinks he's 3 months old. He thinks he weighs 10 pounds. So all of you who hear him playing in the background, please forgive it. There's nothing I could do. Anyway, let's take a listen to Harley Man. This was written by this young lady. I mean, she's not just talented in that she writes books, but she writes music as well. She used to be in a band, and after this song, she's going to tell us all about it. Wouldn't you say that? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now tell us about that. I didn't realize it would be as loud as it is. I'm going to have to learn to lower that too.
It was tracking.
No, I couldn't talk while I was playing. So tell us about that. Tell us about that. What prompted you to write that? And Harley? Why Harley?
Harley, man. Well, that's one of the first songs that I wrote. There goes my dog.
Oh, she has a dog too. How lovely.
Yeah.
How lovely is that?
I'm surprised we're not talking to each other, Angela. That song, back a long time ago,
yes.
When I first got together with my writing partner, Gary, we had a band together, and we were just kind of getting started. We were playing a lot of blues, blues and blues rock music, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Allman Brothers, that kind of stuff. And he was telling me, he lived in Soho, and I was visiting him, you know, to practice or whatever. And he was telling me that he was thinking of selling his Harley Davidson because it was in pieces. It was up at his dad's place in Yonkers, and he didn't have the car to get up there, so he didn't really have time to put it back together and work on it. And it was a Harley, so it was a part a lot of the time. So he was thinking of selling it. I said, well, that's really too bad. You know, you have to sell this wonderful American artifact. Says a lot. About a person, and so, you know, we were just getting thinking about writing some songs, so I wrote the lyrics, and then he came up with a little that riff. He plays the guitar, so he came up with the riff, and, you know, kind of worked it out from there, and we played it. It was one of the, when we first got together, and we played it almost every single show we did. I think we played about 10 years, and we were playing twice a week usually, and we played it probably every show. So
that became your theme song, I guess, your opening act.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it the opening song? It was kind of like the one you play maybe second to the last in a set because it really got everybody going.
I was on my feet here in the office. I was on my feet. I was.
Good.
Caught me by surprise. I had heard it before when I was reviewing the music, and it didn't sound as impacting as when I threw it in the switchboard. But, well, now I know I'm going to have to tone everything down.
Right.
Now, while your books, they're very fast-paced, they're colorful and they're humorous, there seems to be a little darker underlying theme. What's that? What's that about? Tell us.
Well,
am I right?
Yeah, there are underlying things. I got into science fiction. I started reading it in high school, and one of the things I really liked, I started in the 70s when everything was written kind of as a result of what happened in the 60s. So there was a lot of science fiction that was that had deeper themes than just wow technology, which is a good part of science fiction, and it's a reason why it's popular, is that people do like to think about what technology can bring us. And up until maybe that time, the predominant science fiction was of that type. And then in the 60s, as a result of the 60s, I think, science fiction started to get a little bit more questioning of our culture and what we're doing. And I really liked a lot of that. This was the time when I was reading Ray Bradbury, authors like that. And so I feel like science fiction can do a lot more than just be light entertainment. I think of all the genre literature, it really has the ability to kind of make us question things, because you are able to make up a future or see what the consequences of something will be. You can kind of show that. So I kind of feel like it's important to say something in your work other than just, you know, wow, this is kind of cool. Think about this. I like to try to think what's going to be the result of the decisions we make. So a lot of times I have a theme underneath addressing that.
And tell me, what writers have influenced your work? And how so? Just tell me about that.
A lot. There's, like I mentioned, Ray Bradbury, a lot of the the science fiction writers that are well known, of course, and obviously Isaac Asimov. I read him. But some of the more literary writers I just absolutely love, Neal Stephenson, Joanna Russ, people that, well, Neal Stephenson is quite well known now. But Joanna Russ was writing in the 70s, and she hasn't really written lately. But she's just fabulous from a literary standpoint, looking at science fiction or any genre of literature. You don't, in general, or I don't, expect really interesting writing, but the writing that is great, and ever since William Gibson wrote, came out with his books, a lot of the writers have gotten kind of in shape as far as realizing that it's a medium that can be experimented with. All of that kind of writing I like to read, and it's in addition to being interesting from a science fiction standpoint. So all of that kind of writing influences my work.
And audience, I wanted to remind you that we're on Blog Talk Radio. This is Syndicated News. And our call-in number, of course, as you know, which I don't always encourage when we have panel discussions, but our call-in number tonight is 347-539-5024. And my dog is playing. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. And about her books, you can get them right here at Syndicated News. Both of them were for sale right there. Yes, I see the books.
Wow.
They've been there for days. Well, since we first spoke and you made a commitment, we put them
right
up immediately while I was talking to you on the phone.
I didn't realize that there was
both of them were there.
Wow, great.
Oh yeah, they've been there all along, right? Yeah,
I knew they were there. I guess I wasn't paying attention, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're both right there, and it's got that wonderful seamless merchant account system, so that you can buy them right there without any difficulty, and they drop ship them for you, so she doesn't even have to pack them. So there you go. And another thing I wanted to know about what you're doing is this work. How's it been received?
It's been very well received. Both of the books are from small presses, so there is limited publicity involved with them. There is no big publicity push that some of the more well-known houses would give their authors. So it's not always easy to get any kind of reviewers and stuff. But it's been received. It's been received very well, and I just got a good review on Goodreads today, very complimentary. And I really enjoy it when the reviewers actually get what I'm writing about, because, you know, you don't really always know. It's easy to write the humor, you know people are going to get the jokes. But a lot of what else I'm doing, I don't always know if it's going to come across or if it's, you know, people are just going to blow it off. And the reviewers so far are really picking up on what I'm trying to say and the questions I'm kind of trying to ask, actually. And hopefully it sparks discussion. But anyway, the reviewers have all been very positive and accurate, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I was reading a review on WeTheRobots.com. Adorable. It's right. They gave it its page.
Right.
www.WeTheRobots.com.
There's a page called We. What is it called?
WeTheRobots.com.
There's a web page?
Yeah, I'm looking right at it. WeTheRobots.com.
I'm going to go look. I have my computer. I'm going to go look at it.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, there it is.
It's WeTheRobots.com.
WeTheRobots. Yeah. www.WeTheRobots.com. You haven't seen it?
Nope. I don't think that has anything to do with me, though. I think that's somebody else's. I wonder what that is.
It keeps coming up every time I look for your stuff. I was thinking maybe that was something that you threw together and didn't mention. Okay, so it's something we
discovered. But it looks interesting, doesn't it? Oh, yeah.
I thought that was something that you had thrown together. Then I also wanted to ask you, I mean, I saw some of the reviews last week, and they were good. And if you got another review today, wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Slowly but surely getting out there, slowly building up some momentum. That's one good thing about going with a smaller press is that they aren't so quick to dump it because they don't have to. The larger houses, I think, have to hurry up and get a lot of sales early on, or they'll lose interest in trying to promote it. But the smaller houses, because they didn't really have a major push in the first place, they kind of stick with it, and they're much more flexible on what you do with it. So there are advantages, but you do have to hang in there with it and keep trying to bring it to people's attention.
Here's another one, We Robots by Sue Lang, a well-written robot story of substance. My rating, top of the line. Did you read that?
Which website is that?
This one was by SF Signal.
Okay, great. Yep, I remember that one. That was, I think, last year they reviewed that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. He's actually the guy that reviewed it is becoming a good friend of mine now. He has a blog where he interviews a lot of authors on a specific issue. Mm-hmm. And so he emails me every once in a while and gets, you know, my opinion on the issue of the day or whatever. So it's quite an interesting website.
Everybody seems to call it a novella.
Yeah, it's a novella. It is not a large book. It is a smaller book.
It's a novella. It's una novella.
No. You've got that Italian accent. It probably is an Italian word, actually.
Novella is actually Latin. It actually means story or booklet.
Booklet, yeah. Okay.
Beautiful.
That's exactly.
This is just adorable. This one is by January Magazine. Have you read that one?
Yeah, that came out earlier. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
They love your work. They love your work. Yeah.
Yeah, the reviews I've done well with the reviewers.
Well, then you do good work. Now, as a writer, what is it? I mean, if you were going to do anything, what do you need so we can get more of this type of work out of you? What can we do to help you? I'm saying if some very serious lover of the arts was listening to us right now and he's looking for, he or she is basically got an eye out for an artist that they can help support and help encourage so that they won't stop writing. And they said, Ms. Lang, I want to give you a hand. I mean, how could someone possibly help you?
Well,
how could
writer,
someone help you?
These days,
what does a writer need?
A writer needs more than anything, they need publicity. If they're already published, if they're not published, they need to get published. And that's probably the first step, but I am published. So what I need is publicity. There are a lot of people writing, and the market is, I don't want to use the word.
Is it saturated and very
saturated? Yeah, because it's become possible monetarily, economically to publish your own books. A lot of people are opting to do that instead of waiting for a publisher to publish mm-hmm. them. And that's fine, but it puts a lot of work out on the market that hasn't been edited. That's one thing that is really, really important, and that the publisher makes sure the work gets edited. First of all, they won't accept work that they don't feel is worthy of being published. So you have a screening mm-hmm. process there. That doesn't mean that self-published work, none of it is, or all of it is subpar. It just means that a lot of it could be, because a lot of people do not hire an editor to look at their work and to make sure that it flows, it works well. Everyone, since the beginning of time, every writer has had an editor. Not all of them, but many of them. And writers tend to write too much, and a lot of time an editor will help them cut it down so that they don't ramble, like I'm doing right now. And they'll make sure that it's able, that people are going to read it. And that doesn't happen in the self-publishing process. It's very hard to self-edit, honestly. So a lot of stuff is out there. And because it is possible now for people to self-publish, people are self-publishing. And then there are the traditional writers that have a publisher publish them that are already out there. So there is a lot of fiction, a lot of reading material out there, and at some point there's just not enough readers anymore. So what a writer needs these days is publicity more than anything, and that's what I need. I need publicity, and anything that can help me market my books.
So you would need, now you've published two books. How does one market a book for those that are listening who may want to do what you do or who have a talent for writing? How does one publish a book? Tell us.
And how do you get published?
Yeah.
You do one of two things. You approach an agent to publish, to act as a go-between, to find you a publisher. Usually,
do you have an agent?
No, I do not have an agent.
So you're doing it yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I've kind of fallen into the publishers. I haven't really had a need for an agent yet. An agent will help you get a better publisher. And so it's not that I wouldn't want an agent. It's just I haven't really needed one yet. But I imagine at some point I will. An agent works with the type of work that is commercial, and they'll get you a commercial publisher. So they're very picky about what kind of work they'll accept, because there's a lot of people that need to make a lot of money on your writing. So it has to be really top-notch commercially. If it's more experimental, like my work is, the smaller presses are probably a better place, because they're more willing to take a chance with work that doesn't fit easily into a commercial genre. So I've found my publishers on my own, and they've been very helpful.
Do you have another book in the works?
Well, I have a number of projects that I'm working on. They're in various stages. I've got one book that I'm co-writing with a new writer, and kind of bringing her along and teaching her how the publishing industry works. So that we're actually looking for an agent on. That's nonfiction. It's not really my forte. So I thought maybe I'd better try and find an agent to help both of us. And I've got the main project I'm concentrating on is an interactive project that's going to be internet only, that has interactive content in it and multimedia. I like working obviously I work with music, and I like the visual media. I like stuff that goes up on YouTube. I like all that stuff. I like the ability for just regular people to kind of mess around in all this multimedia stuff. It's a lot of fun. And so I'm going to be working on my next book is called The Textile Planet. It's really, really huge, and it's one of those books that I ramble on. So it works well with serialization, kind of like a soap opera, where there's just little chunks of it thrown up on the internet, and those little chunks will be for free. I'm hoping to entice people to actually purchase the book by reading these sections a little bit at a time. That's going to be part of a website that's not going to launch until September. There's a number of authors involved, 26 actually, and some very well-established writers. I can't say too much about it because I've been sworn to secrecy until the website actually launches. But for my own self, I'm spreading
you can't
the word.
Say, you can't say something like that to me. I'll be calling you 5 times a day to find out what it is.
Well, just you know what the name of my
you
book.
Come and you lay that one on here on the air? I've been sworn to secrecy.
Right.
The interview was, so you tell us. Give.
No, I can't. The project manager has told me I may not say the name of the
book. Oh, my. Now we're going to be more curious. When does it launch?
It launches, I think it's going to launch at the end of September. We thought maybe the beginning of September, but now the end, which is why we can't really say what it is yet, because it's a very complicated website. And
who else is working on it?
Well, there's some great science fiction authors. Ursula Le Guin is in it with us, and Vonda and McIntyre.
Do a search on Ursula Le Guin. And who else?
Vonda and McIntyre. and a lot more, actually.
Well, maybe one of those will get sloppy and they'll slip on the internet and they'll say it somewhere. You've been sworn to secrecy, but maybe they'll be loose-lipped and they'll leave it somewhere.
I don't know. I'm not going to speak for everyone. I'm only going to speak to myself. Go ahead.
Tell me the internet. How's it playing into your work? Is that what you mean? I mean, because you talk about the YouTube and everything seems to be technological. The internet, is it a big part of your writing?
Well, it's becoming because I do write social comment in my work. I always kind of do satire on our culture. So, and the internet has become so very, very big in our culture that it's hard not to have it be part of what I'm writing about. But what has really changed for me is meeting people like you. Actually, I mean, the internet is. Makes people very available and easily contacted. So it's become important for writers to get in the internet and get in there with their readers, keep in contact with their readers, make their work available on some level in the internet, and blog and join the book clubs and everything. So it's become important for me to spend time on the internet, but also to get my information about my book out there and to sell my book on the internet. Actually, the publishers do that, but
you realize that your books will stay on your link with your segments forever, so you can find it in
good.
Future and and you can use this
good.
Interview to get more work and more publicity. Absolutely.
Good. Yeah, those are the kind of things that, makes
help
the work
writer
available.
Out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
I tell you, when I'm reading, I would love to have a robot to clean the house. And
they do have those. Well,
I wanted to clean the house. I wanted to do laundry, fold it, put it away. I wanted
exactly.
to use Downy. I wanted to... dust the figurines if there are any. I wanted to change the channel for me. I don't even want to use the remote control anymore. I wanted to do it
for
me.
How about you don't want to program the VCR? I would like to just be able to verbally tell something to set up the programs I want. I don't even remember the names of the programs. I want the robot to figure it out what I want. That's kind of one of the things that prompted me to write Read Robots the way that I did. This is where my satire, my sarcasm that you mentioned comes in, is that it's very high-minded and optimistic to say that artificial intelligence is going to be bypassing human intelligence, but it's very hard for us to imagine it. The technology, just in my lifetime, has just rapidly developed amazing, amazing things since I was young and all the time I was growing up and in my adulthood. Technology has certainly just amazed us, but at the same time, the labor-saving devices are really nowhere near anything close to what science fiction predicted or what we thought we would have. If the things we get, they don't really do much. We still have to dust the figurines a certain way. I mean, there's simply just no way to really imagine something being able to take over a lot of what we don't like to do.
I actually have some design ideas for homes myself.
Yeah?
I would like to have a constant vacuum cleaner that sucks the dust right out of the air,
both on the
ceilings, on the sides, and on the floors.
Right.
And I'd like all the floors to be at an angle so that if you drop any liquid, it goes to the edge, like in Japan. They're designed so that everything goes to, there's a well at the edge of the wall. It's so sanitary, and it's all disinfected immediately. It's amazing. I'd like that here. I would like that here.
That doesn't even sound like it would be that hard. I mean, you could live in a garage. I think you did that.
Heck yes.
Don't they
Heck
have
yes.
planes in the middle of the floor? you know, how hard would it be to, you know, put a layer of Clorox down or something? I don't know. I think you should get that, Ruthie.
I remember when you used to watch Star Trek, and Uhura would take this piece of paper and put it in a box, and the other space captain was in his ship, and they were looking at each other through the what reminds me now of the brand new Promethean, you know, whiteboard, and they would have the white sheet would come out of the box in the, you know, at the other ship,
oh,
and
right,
they would
right.
pull it out. That's our fax machine, isn't it?
Right.
And I thought that was so fancy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it doesn't seem that weird anymore.
Talking to his wrist or his button, you know, and Scotty beamed me up. And now that gadget's about the size of the modern-day cell phone.
Right. The cell phone isn't so amazing. Beaming up to a planet, that's pretty amazing.
I would love that if I could just, vaporize and then materialize in another country and have lunch over there. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Are we splendid?
Right.
Yeah, I would love one of these robots.
Right.
Now, what else do you have coming up? What are you doing, you know, besides what you're working with this group and all that? What do you have? I mean, do you have another book coming out? Is there another book coming out of you?
Well, there's books coming out, but I can only write them one at a time. So, they're coming out one right after another, but I'm still working on this one, and I have a deadline that I've got. It's not the writing of the book. The book's been written, but it's all adding all this multimedia content that's taking up a lot of time. So,
anyone that's listening, you can hear she's got tremendous talent. There's no doubt. And if you read these books, they are so comical, so adorable. Her website is www.suelangtheauthor.com. I'm going to spell that for you. www.suelangtheauthor.com. suelangtheauthor.com. And if you want to help this young lady get it together and get some publicity and go forward, I mean, she already has a leg up. Just all she needs is a little lift. The number is 610-488-7434. Maybe you have a TV show and you need a writer to come on. Maybe you need someone to write some music and you need her talents. That's Sue Lang. And her email, if you have some, you know, ideas, maybe in supporting these efforts that she's already begun. Her email is suelang1, that's SUELANGE, the number 1, at Verizon.net. Please scribble that, grab your pencils. That's suelang1 at Verizon.net. And this is Blog Talk Radio, Syndicated News. And we want to say that Sue Lang is available for consultation of any kind. If anybody wants to talk to her about more publicity, what type of, you need publicity, say television, radio, everything, right?
Well, yeah, I think anything is helpful. Radio shows are great like this. Anything that gets even excerpts into the hands of potential readers is great. I love talking. I love showing up at places.
And on the internet, you show up virtually. You don't have to physically show up anywhere. Isn't that lovely?
Well, it certainly is inexpensive. I like to do in person too. Actually, I've got a couple events that I should maybe talk about. I lived in Pennsylvania, as I said, in a county, Berks County. It's north of Philly, and I've got there's a festival in October. The entire month of October is what's called Reading Reads. Reading is the name of the town here, and they have a month-long literary festival, and all kinds of local authors and non-local authors come, and they do readings and signings. And I've got actually two events I'm going to do with one event at the Borders that I'm scheduled for the 21st.
That's the Borders Bookshop?
Right, Borders.
What town is that again? Reading, Pennsylvania?
Yes, Reading, Pennsylvania. And
Reading, Pennsylvania has several Borders books, don't they? Which one will you be at?
This is the one that's in the part of Reading called Wyossing. It's Wyossing.
Wyossing?
Wyossing.
Okay, you heard that. Wyossing. That's where she's going to have her event. Yeah, that's important.
Right. So I'll be there, and then that's on the 21st of October. Mm-hmm. No, wait. That's the 18th of October. It's a Saturday.
Okay.
And then on the 21st, I've got a very cool event that I put together for an organization called Pen Writers, which is a huge statewide writers organization. And we've got five writers that I brought together, and we're going to do a reading at a local tavern called Stuckle Pen.
What's the name of the tavern again?
The Speckled Hen. Speckled.
Okay.
S-P-E-C-K-L-E-D. Hen is in chicken.
They'll be there.
That's
the best fun when some writers and they're doing these festivals are just wonderful.
Yeah, I wanted to take it out of the bookstores because it gets kind of stodgy in a bookstore and tavern. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have my partner Gary. He's going to play some acoustic guitar and sing some songs, so it doesn't get too boring.
Uh-huh.
Kind of mix it up because I like to do that. And there'll be food, so we'll be eating and reading our books.
It's fantastic.
So,
let's take a moment here to remind you that Sue Lang is going to be having her event. She just told you about that. Jasmine will be here on the 29th, on the 30th, Teresa Garnero. On the 31st, we're going to have Warren Michaels. August 5th, Will Price. He's the CEO of widgetbox.com. On the 6th, we're going to have the Santangelo Board of Directors. On August 8th, we're going to have Nutrilove's Hal Robb. He's going to tell us about $1,000 shampoo. It's not for us. It's for the ultra rich. And they buy it. It's selling.
I want
There's
some.
A reason. Yeah, there's a reason. I can give you some.
Give him a book. Maybe he can give me a bottle.
There's a reason, and when you see the reason, you'll realize that they're not ethereal and they don't have their head in the clouds. There's a wonderful reason behind it, but it's $1,000 bottle of shampoo. It certainly is. And August 7th, we're going to have Raymond Rivas and Louis Schiff. He's the author of such wonderful books such as The Armchair Millionaire and The Middle Class Millionaire. And he has others, but we didn't list them all.
The Armchair Millionaire can get some of that shampoo.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. In fact, notice how I booked them one after the other.
You should book them together.
I kind of did. In fact, I'll read you the ring. It says, where's that? Here you go. Nutrilove offers a status symbol for the ultra-rich whose hearts are in the right place, an absolute status symbol for the wealthy among us, followed by financial counseling for ultra-rich families. Tonight is reserved for the wealthy and prosperous. Anyway, August 12th, we have Manny Alfaro from Hola. He's going to talk about how so many Latin actors are getting into the movies and on Broadway, and they're now spicing up casts all over the place. And we're going to talk about Hispanic Hollywood and things of that nature. And August 20th, we're going to have a panel discussion with the leaders of Acronis, True Image Echo Enterprise Server Products. And that's going to be very interesting. The panel members are going to be announced in a matter of days. And if you own any kind of business, and I know you all have businesses, you have to have this product. And you have to listen to this panel talk about its value and the reasons why you have to have this product. Anyway, let's go back to these announcements for Ms. Lang, Sue Lang. Her website is www.suelangtheauthor.com. That's SueLangTheAuthor.com.
Oh, wait, Ruthie. Let me just spell that again. For some reason, I have an E at the end of my name. It's www.SueLangTheAuthor.com.
Absolutely. Listen to her listen to her. Don't listen to me. SueLangTheAuthor.com, just as she spelled it.
Right.
And anyone who wants to help, you are so invited, and you're so welcome to help with advice, with publicity, any way that you can help Sue
or just buy the book.
Come to our website and buy the book. Absolutely.
There you go.
They're right there. And from today until the next broadcast, in fact, we're going to leave your show on the loop, so that it'll be the default every time someone comes here.
Lovely.
So they'll listen to
you. So I can come every day and go and see my show?
Yes, if you want to. Absolutely. It'll be... No, I'm dead serious.
Yay!
Anybody can. And that's the wonder of the internet and Blog Talk Radio. In standard conventional radio, you would do a broadcast and they'd wrap it up, and that would be the end of that. They'd go on to the next project. But on the internet, in Blog Talk Radio, we do a segment, and it maintains its own URL. It maintains its own title. And whatever books are selling there stay. They continue to stay there. And they stay there forever. So that link that I'll send you, that you have, you'll also have a download or a play button on your segment, too.
Right.
So anyone can enjoy it later. You might want to tell the young women in your group that you're training now, that you're helping them learn the ropes about publishing. Give them a link to your broadcast and let them hear how they can handle an interview and get more out of it, because the host keeps repeating your name and your phone and your website over and over again. It helps, believe me. People use it. And they ask me, could you say that again?
Yeah.
It's SueLangTheAuthor.com. Sue Lang with an E, TheAuthor.com.
And
her email is SueLang1@Verizon.net. And yes, I will spell that again. SueLang, the number 1@Verizon.net. And if you have an opportunity, maybe you have a magazine or a television show or you own one. I know a few of my listeners own television shows and have been having a great time at my expense, laughing at my mistakes after my segments are over. They call me and they grill me and they're, well, I tell you, I've grown a second skin.
Yes, but think of all the improvement you've done over the all those segments you've done with all their help.
I have one, I would say, partner, counselor, who said to me, you know anything about levels? You've got to go down 6 at the very least. And I listen. I'm not a hardhead. And I actually went and I had it changed 6 levels down. And I tell you, it works great. That's why now I'm blasting music. And I'm going to have to learn how to play the music in a softer tone. I'm going to have to. Anyway, anyone who can help Sue Lang get more publicity to get these books out, not just to buy them. She needs to have real publicity. In addition to this, she needs more. There's nothing wrong with more.
I want more.
More is a good word. Yes, yes, more is a good word. She needs publicity. She needs to get out on the TV talk circuit. What? And can your agent, or you, oh, no, you don't have one. You're the agent. Are you going to get yourself on, you know, to the television circuit and the cable shows, anything?
I hadn't really explored that yet, but you're giving me
Why
ideas.
Why not?
So I did one local cable show here in this county, but that's all I've done so far.
I found out the universities, like, for instance, in upstate New York, there's the Finger Lakes Community College, the FLCC, and they have a whole TV station on which all they play is basically silent public service announcements and music. Mm. That's it. And they would love a segment on something of this nature. These are lovely publications that can be read by anyone. This is nice, good, clean books that can be used by young people, can be read and enjoyed by young people. Mm-hmm. And I know that they would enjoy that. And I find that all over the nation. I'm finding all of these community colleges have a television division. And that's usually where the small towns have their public service announcements. But they have no problem with accepting additional programming. And something of this nature, something very, very appropriate that can be played to mass audiences. You don't have to worry about its content. It's good, wholesome, clean content. You should contact them.
Definitely.
I'm sure in your area there you'll find many schools have those dormant divisions. They're sitting there and they're not doing anything with them. Come in and say, I'd like to do an interview and talk about my books.
That's
You've got nothing to lose. And all they're going to say, possibly no, but they may say, yes, you know, that's a great idea.
Absolutely, I hadn't really thought about that. That's a very good idea.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dee.
You're welcome. Also, since they're such, you know, good-natured, you know, have you considered the Walmart line?
I'm not sure what you mean.
They have a center where you can do your dog and pony. Walmart, and they try at so many stores and see if I was watching a program about it on 60 Minutes. It was marvelous. Oh. They have you call them up and ask them new products, and they'll have you come and show your wares. And in this case, it's 2 books, and they try it in several stores, and if it goes well, then they go nationwide.
Hey, that sounds cool.
You should absolutely try that.
That's what happens. I don't watch TV. That's what happens. You miss all this information. I haven't seen 60 Minutes in 10 years, probably. You're too busy writing.
Really?
I'm not in touch.
Well, we're going to get you back in touch. This is Ruthie DiTucci, Blog Talk Radio from Syndicated News. We've spent the evening with Sue Lang, the author of 2 absolutely marvelous books. They're adorable. They are We Robots and Trichian Hash. They're both available on our website. And with that, we would have to say good night.
Well, thank you so much.
And when you write your next book, your 3rd book, we hope we'll have you back again, won't we?
I will definitely be here.
And I don't mean after you've done all, you know, you've gone on the routes and you're on television. I mean, before you go anywhere, if you get a new book, you have to debut it here first.
Okay, I will do that.
And we will keep plugging you because if anyone shows up in the next couple of months that's written a book, I'm going to pay close attention and make sure that they write as cleverly as you do. You set the bar. You did write very, very. They're very clever. Very, very clever. And maybe. Maybe that cleverness comes from not watching TV. Who knows?
I don't know. I think I'm making fun of
it. It's good night from Blog Talk Radio, Syndicated News. Good night.
Good night, Lucy.
Good night, Sue. Now we'll play a little bit of her music, but at a much softer level. Much softer. Let's try there. Good night, everyone.